Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. You are welcome to today's teaching. Let us pray. Glorious Father, we worship you. Thank you for your greatness. Thank you for your power. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Thank you for always being here with us. Be thou glorified in the name of Jesus. Lord, we declare that you are all that we have. We have nothing else. We have no one else. You are our everything. Blessed be your name. In today's teaching, we ask, precious Father, that you take your place. We ask that you touch lives. We ask that you change lives. Let this not be another topic. Let it not be another teaching. Let it not be just another message. But let it be a word from you. Let it bind upon the hearts of men like barbed wire in the name of Jesus. To the end that their lives may be transformed. That our lives may be transformed. Bless the hearer. Bless the speaker. To the glory and the praise of your name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to Jesus. You are welcome to today's teaching. I pray that your life will never remain the same in the name of Jesus. We've been on a long journey talking about God's eternal purpose. And we've taken about 12 teachings already. This is the 13th teaching. The whole concept is to communicate God's heart for man. We started talking about why God made man, things that happened before creation that led to the creation of man, and how the journey continued. Man fell in the garden, why God planted the tree, and how God introduced the law, and eventually how grace came around, Jesus came to save. And how he made us a new creature, how also today we are God's children. Last week we were talking about a new family, how we are in God's house, we are God's children, and how God has designed that we abide in that house forever. Though there are also children who may lose that privilege because they choose to. That was what we studied last week. Praise the Lord. Today we'll be taking a very wonderful topic. That has been titled Grave Before Growth. Grave Before Growth. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Let's quickly read the book of John. John chapter 12, from verse 23 to 25. I read. John chapter 12, 23 to 25. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. I'll read that verse 24 again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. Verse 25. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's keep our fingers there as we go and read Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 and 32. Matthew 13, 31 to 32. I read. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Glory to God. One of the ways to understand what God's kingdom looks like, the secrets and the mysteries of God's kingdom, you will find them in the parables. In Mark 4, verse 10 and 11, Jesus made it clear to his disciples that the parables contains the mysteries and the workings of God's kingdom. If you want to understand how God's kingdom functions, now I believe you should know that when we talk about God's kingdom, we don't mean heaven. God's kingdom just means a realm where God rules, a realm where God lives, where God reigns. So when Jesus said, let your kingdom come, what he actually meant is, Lord, let your will be done. Let's have a system. Let's have a home. Let's have a life where God rules, where God is king, where there is no sickness, there is no pain, there is no sin, there is no sadness. It is all joy. Praise the Lord. So that is what God's kingdom means. It is a realm, a place, a life, a family, anywhere God is ruling, that is the kingdom. Praise the Lord. That's why Jesus said, the kingdom of God is not a place, it is in you. It can be in you. Praise the Lord. So I had to quickly say that so that you understand what God's kingdom means. So I was saying that the parables contains mysteries about God's kingdom. If you want to understand what the mysteries of God's kingdom is, the secrets of God's kingdom, they are contained in the parables. And this particular parable contains one serious, one major secret of God's kingdom. The parable says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's like a seed, very small seed, which a man, this seed is just a seed standing on its own. A seed that has potentials. A seed that carries all the power, all the glory, all the wisdom. A seed that was born of God. Yes, so this seed is on its own, not growing, not increasing, doing nothing. Useless to anyone. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says, but this seed a man took it and sowed it in his field. And that was just the change that the seed needed. The seed was sowed in the ground, and when it was put into the ground, it died in the ground. And what happens? From the dead comes out, the Bible says, it was the least of seeds, but out of it grows, it became the greatest among herbs, and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in it. Praise the Lord. So you see, a seed we continue to be a seed, useless. No birds can find refuge in a seed. Nobody can find shade under a seed. But when that seed is sown, what happens? The Bible says it grows and becomes the greatest among herbs. I make bold to tell you very quickly that there is no growth in God without death. There will be no growth if there is no death. And there will be no greatness without growth.
If you are ever going to be great in God, if you are ever going to be great in the sight of God, there must be a growth. And if you must have a growth or experience a growth that is supervised and powered by God, this growth must begin in the grave. This is the wisdom of God. There are a lot of growths today that was not born in God. Don't envy them. Don't envy growth. Scripture says, Cain left the presence of God and went to build a city. So it is possible for men to grow in all kinds of sizes and dimensions. It is possible for men to grow in all kinds of shades and pictures and colors. But that doesn't mean that growth was born by God. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Jesus told the disciples, he said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. And if you are going to think like a rational person, you will say, that's Jesus, you are not correct. There are many things I can do without you. See, people are doing many things without the authority of Jesus. Many people are doing a lot of exploits without Jesus. So you should have questioned Jesus. Jesus, what do you mean? Why will you say without you we can do nothing? The reason is because there is nothing that you can claim you do, or there is no success you can claim you have. If it was not born by God, then God does not see it. If your greatness was not born by God, then as far as God is concerned, it is nothing. It does not exist. That greatness does not exist. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Praise the living Jesus. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 16. Let's quickly go through that John again that we read earlier. John chapter 12, verse 24, it says, Except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. Except there is only one way for a corn of wheat to grow, and that way is that it must fall to the ground and die. He said, if it does not fall to the ground and die, it will continue to remain alone. But when it dies, scripture says, it brings forth much fruit. The Lord bless his words in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Praise the Lord. You see that same scripture in Mark chapter 8, 34, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus is saying the same thing, and it was recorded three times in the Bible. If you are going to follow Jesus, if you are going to be called a follower of Jesus, Jesus is saying, the gateway to becoming my follower is, number one, you must have denied yourself. Then after denying yourself, you now carry your cross and then you follow. There are many people, so-called Christians today, who are not Christians. You know, many people are born again, but they are not Christians. Because people were called Christians first in Antioch because they saw that they look like Christ. And for a person to look like Christ, it means he has been with Christ. And Jesus said, for you to have been with Christ, you must have gone through self-denial and you must have carried your cross. Praise the Lord. So Jesus has saved many people from Satan. They are born again, but they are not yet followers. Before you can become a disciple of Jesus, praise the Lord, before you can become his disciple, Jesus said, you must take up, you must deny yourself, and you must take up your cross. The gateway, you know, many people want to grow today. They want to grow. They want to grow spiritually. And sincerely, I tell you, I have seen people try to grow. I have seen people sit down under teachings like this repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly and repeatedly. I've seen people read books upon books upon books upon books. But I tell you, they have yet have not grown. There is no growth in their lives. You know why? They have not died. Today we have several people going to church in their thousands, in their millions. Going to church, claiming they are followers of Jesus, wearing a church band and carrying a big Bible, and there is a very beautiful sticker of their church on their vehicle. But in their life, there is no Jesus. Praise the Lord. There is no Jesus in their lives. Matthew 13, from verse 1 to 8. Bible talks about the parable of the sower. And Bible gave us six types of hearts. Praise the Lord. There are six types, not four. The first heart, we have three hearts that are completely bad. The seed could not grow in those hearts. Then there are three other hearts that Bible refers to in verse 8. It says, Bible calls them, they are good hearts. Very good hearts. They don't have all the problems of the three before. But in these three hearts, the Bible says, one grew 30-fold, one grew 60-fold, and another one grew 100-fold. My brother, why should it be you that we grow 30-fold? There are those who receive the seed of God's word, and they grew 100 times, they reproduce 100 times of what they have received. But there are others who are growing 30-fold. 30 folds. You know, and I began to search. This is some months ago. I began to search my Bible. Why? Why should some grow 30 folds and some other grew 100 folds? Is it not the same seed that was sown? Is it not the same word that they have received? Why? You know what I found? I found out that the number one priority, the number one factor that determines the yield of crop. When you sow a seed, the number one factor that determines crop yield is what is called soil fertility. Praise the Lord. The number one thing that determines crop yield, whether you have a bountiful harvest or a very small harvest, is what is called soil fertility. That's number one. What is soil fertility? Soil fertility comes to the soil through death. What we call loamy soil today is an aggregate of deaths. Several soil that have died, several animals that have died, all kinds of dungs, all kinds of waste. When they come together, they produce in their process of disintegration back to soil, they become what we call loamy soil, which is good for planting. So we call them manure. So the failure of a crop to yield a bountiful harvest is because manure is absent. Death is absent. Dung is absent. So you understand why Paul grew exceedingly. In Philippians 3 verse 8, he said, all that was gained to me, I counted but dung. I killed them all, I turned them to manure, and it helped me to grow exceedingly. If there is no death in the foundation of a Christian life, you will not grow. There will be no growth. There will be no change. Praise the Lord. This is not a regular church message. It's not a regular church message. Luke chapter 14 verse 26. Jesus said, anyone that wants to follow me, he must hate family. He must hate his husband, hate his wife, hate his children, hate his parents, and even his own life before he can follow. Who teaches that today? If you really want to learn this, you have to go to read that of old. You won't see that very common anywhere today again. You must deny and crucify the life of self. If you are ever going to enter, we are talking about entering into growth. Well, today is not about talking about growth. Today we are talking about death, which is the prerequisite, which is the foundation, which is the boost, which is the determinant of spiritual growth. Luke 14, 27, it says, anyone that wants to follow me, he must carry his cross. Luke 14, 33, he said, you must forsake all that are going to follow me. The man that we call the father of faith, he reached that point in his life. Praise the Lord. You will still get there. He reached that point in his life when God said, are you willing to follow me? Are you ready to enter into greatness? You have been working with me, but today we are going to determine. Are you a follower of me or you are a follower of self? Today we are going to find out. Whose follower are you? There is something I have given to you, just like God has given all of us what we have. Just like God gave Paul a lot of things. He was mentioning it in that Philippians 3. He said, God has given me many things. I was free born. I was born a Jew. I was the best among the Pharisees. I have this. I have that. I have this. I have that. I have a lot of things. God has given us all a lot of things. But you see, God gave us all these things, not just for ourselves, but for us to come back and kill them on his altar. So he told Abraham, he said, Abraham, get up. Take your son, your only son, whom you loved, and go and sacrifice him in the place I will show you. He got to that point when he must sacrifice all. The ticket for entering into discipleship is death. Death must happen to self before you can enter into spiritual work. Hundreds and hundreds of immature Christians in our world today. Hundreds and hundreds of immature Christians. The perilous time is upon us, brethren. We are in dangerous times. That is why you will not hear this kind of message in your churches anymore. Today, we are preaching about how to develop your business. And it's not bad. The only problem is our schools, they failed. They failed to teach us how to be a good businessman in school. So pastors felt, well, if the school failed to teach you well, I'm the one that will not teach you. Because school failed to teach physics properly, pastors say, well, your school refused to teach you physics. Yes, I've been called to teach the spiritual work, but now I'm going to teach you physics, so that you can be able to understand the law of nature. Well, I don't think, I'm not saying it's wrong to preach or teach about all of those. But I said there is a misplace of priority. There is a misplace. Nobody is talking about how to crucify self anymore. What we are talking about now is how to indulge self. Pastors, we organize programs on how to indulge self. How to be the greatest in your family. How to kill my enemy. How to increase myself financially. How to overcome my enemies. Everything, it has become a self-centered gospel. I tell you, God has been removed from many churches. It does not matter how many people are gathered. Brethren, come out from among them and be separated. There is a remnant And you must be part of those remnants that will seek the Lord in these last days. These millions of people seeking after God, that a Christianity that is fashionable is not a Christianity that was born by God. This Christianity we are practicing today. One great man of old, he said, if Jesus had preached what pastors are preaching today, he said, nobody would have killed him. Because who does someone, even Pharisee wants to be rich. Glory to God. And then pastor says, today we are taking the seven laws of prosperity. Pharisee will say, hey, write down. I preach to say, even me, I am here. Jesus, don't die. Hey, long live Jesus. Continue to live, don't die. Perilous times are upon us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I believe from verse 1, Paul said, perilous times shall come. In the last days, men shall become lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. Men shall be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. And I tell you today, people don't hear messages centered on God anymore. Even when you tell people to come and praise God, they are still praising God for self. May God have mercy on us. You see, the nature and the culture at work in Christianity today is a self-centered culture. Everything I am doing, I am doing it because I want God to bless me in return. God have mercy on his church and on us all in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Quickly, I'm going to take two outlines. I pray I'll be able to finish. I'll try and not rush. This is a teaching. And I want your life to be blessed. I don't want this to be just words. I want your life to be blessed. I want at the end of this message, of this teaching, I want you to have understood, and I want your eyes to have been opened to see the depravity of the self-life and cry out to God for a change in your life. What is self? I'm going to be mentioning about 8 things that self means. Praise the Lord. What is self? We are saying you must crucify the flesh. You must crucify self. What do we mean? Who is this self? Number one, self is that thing in you that cares about you first and you alone. Self is that thing in you that is concerned about you first or you alone. When the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Self says, no. The only condition for which I will seek the kingdom is if I am going to get something in return. And for some, it is they are hoping to get heaven. And it does not matter. Some say, what I want is money. And that one says, what I want is children. And that one says, I just want to be free from my enemies. And one says, I mean, I'm spiritual. I only want to make heaven. Listen, no matter your purpose for seeking God, as long as it is not God you are seeking in himself, then you are under the bondage of self. Jesus told Abraham, he said, I am your reward. Not heaven, not children, not wealth. I am your reward. Until you get to that point where God becomes your reward, you have not begun the Christian walk. You are still under legalism. I'm not saying you will make heaven, and you may not. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. So self is that thing in you that is seeking you, that is seeking your fulfillment, seeking your progress. And everybody has that. Nobody wants a dull self. Nobody wants a useless self. So you see, there's an outer of self in everyone that must be dealt with. Isaiah chapter 14 tells us the wonderful story of how Lucifer was dethroned from heaven. And many years ago, I taught a message. I called it Pride, the ABC of Destruction. And one of the outlines says, sin in heaven. How did sin enter into heaven? You should have asked. Heaven is a holy place. God made everyone holy. God made everyone perfect. But sin was found in Lucifer. The Bible says, you were perfect in all your ways until sin was, iniquity was found in you. And how did it happen? How did sin find its way into heaven? You must understand the origin of sin. You know, we need to understand. We talked about this before, and I need to reiterate again. You must understand what sin means. Sin is not adultery. Sin is not fornication. Sin is not stealing. Sin is not embezzlement. Sin is not evil evil politicians. Sin is not murder. The foundation of sin started in heaven. And what happened? One angel started talking about me. One angel in heaven started talking about I. Seven times in the book of Isaiah chapter 14, Lucifer said, I, not God. He started talking about I, me, what I want, how I want it, when I want it. And sin entered into the world of heaven. But heaven was smart. They sent him out. Praise the Lord. Many people say, I don't fornicate, I don't sin, I don't commit adultery, I am this, I am that, I pay my tithe, I pay my... As long as there is I inside you, you are as worse as the devil in the sight of God. Thank God for the righteousness of God. Nobody would have been able to attain God's righteousness. As long as there is an I in you that cares about you, that wants you to prosper, that wants you to increase, then that is sin. Many people are not concerned about their actions or inactions. The effect it would have on people, the effect it would have on God, all they care is, I need to be good. I need to enjoy. You know, on my status, I think earlier this week, and I heard about a 12-year-old delivery boy that committed suicide, and I got angry, and I was like, we need to stop celebrating people who commit suicide. Back in the days, if you commit suicide, you will not receive a proper death. You receive a very, very disgusting death. Even your family members will be humiliated because you committed suicide. And the point I was making is that, you know, suicide is born out of the ultimate selfishness. You have friends that cared about you. You have family that cared about you. You have people that love you. You have people that look up to you. But you don't care. You have parents that will weep when you die. You have family that will weep when you die. They don't matter to you. All that matters is, I'm in pain. I want to end it. It's all about me. I don't care what others will feel. It's all about me. Some of them have siblings that love them, that care about them, but they can't see that. Satan has blinded their eyes. And all they care is me. They are seeing only themselves. And that's how they commit suicide. Praise the Lord. So that thing that makes you care about you and you and you alone is self. It must die. Praise the Lord. You know, people are so, selfishness has grown so much that people cannot even give God anymore. They can't give God properly. Everything they do for God is laced with self. You know? Praise the Lord. And it happened in the days of Jesus. It got to a time about 15,000 people were looking for Jesus. And they may be more than that. Because they ate previously. And that was all of them gathered. And they were looking for him. Jesus, where is your church? We want to be members of your church. Hey, you have blessed our life so much. They were looking for him. They searched everywhere. They can't find him. They started entering ships. person that the one that can run was running. The one that can enter a chariot, enter the chariot. The one that can take taxi, took a taxi. The one that can charter a bus, charter the bus. Jesus, where are you? We don't want to follow you. They were running. They were, they sat there where they didn't see him. Eventually, somebody told them, we have seen him. That is where he is. They ran. Jesus, where are you? Lover of my soul. Singing beautiful song and crying. Oh, Jesus, how I love you. You are so sweet to my soul. And crying and weeping. Jesus took one look at them and said, I am not moved by your emotions. Because I know in your hearts of hearts, I know why you are seeking me. You are not seeking because you love me. You didn't love me. You don't love me. You are not seeking because you came to glorify God for the miracles he is doing. You are seeking me because you ate bread and you are filled and you want more. I tell you, even today, Jesus is unmoved by those who seek him for gain. He is completely unmoved. You are permitted to come to Christ because of something. But you are not permitted to be a disciple because of something. No. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. You must come up higher. You must rise above. You must leave the state of being a baby and come to the place of sonship, where your seeking of God is for God and not for yourself. Praise the Lord. Number two, what is self? Self is that thing that rises up in you when you are praised or insulted or humiliated or disrespected or honored. That is self. That thing that swells in your head when they are when they are chanting and shouting your praise. That is self. You must control it. You must not let it control you. That thing in you that says, are you talking to me? Do you know who I am? That's self. That's the height of pride. That is self. That thing in you that do all you can so that you will not be humiliated. Self. Concerned about yourself. At that state, you cannot see God or his will or his purpose. All that matters to you is me. I don't want to be humiliated. I don't want to be put to shame. I don't want to be insulted. See this small boy insulting me. Do you know how old I am? I am older than your big sister. Even your sister, your elder sister, cannot call me by name. You know, Yoruba, we like respect. Even your elder sister cannot call me by name. You are not calling me by my name. My brother, you are proud. My sister, you have self sitting inside you. That thing that made God send Satan away from heaven is living inside of you. That thing that rebels in you when you are insulted, when you are humiliated. That thing that rises up in you when you are offended. Me! I will show him better. I will deal with you. Who are you to deal with anyone? Just a flower that blossomed in the day and is cast away at night. That's the life of a man. All your 80 years or 90 years is but nothing. So when you see that thing rising up in you, that is self. You must kill it. You must not allow it to destroy you. Number three, what is self? Self is that thing that seeks the acceptance of people and influenced by their opinion. I didn't give a text for number two. Luke 11, chapter 27. You know, they came to Jesus. Somebody was speaking in the crowd. He said, blessed is the pap that you suck. It was like, Jesus, your mommy is blessed. In fact, you came out of a very precious womb.
Eh?
The home you came out of, Jesus said, shut up! Shut up! All that one does not matter. Blessed is he that do the will of God. I beg, close that chapter. Unmoved by the praise of men. Unmoved by the praise of men.
Praise the Lord.
Number three, I said that seek the acceptance of people and influence by their opinion. Praise the Lord. You know, that thing in you that wants people to accept you. You want societal acceptance. Why are people running from pillar to post today, trying to build houses and they buy more cars? You know, the society has sold to us a yardstick of living. That if you are alive and you have not built your own house, then your life is miserable. That is the yardstick of the world. There was a man that came to this world that said, foxes have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. That is the mindset of kingdom people. That's what the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Nothing in this world matters. Praise the Lord. Nothing of the world matters. You must renew your mind as a child of God. You cannot be thinking like people of the world. You must not be looking for acceptance. Societal acceptance. They must know that I have arrived. They must also know that I have money. They must also know that I am something, that I am rich. They must now know. They must now know everything is about you, you and me, and me, and me, and what you want people to think about you. Paul said, if I seek to please men, then I am no longer the servant of God. As a child of God, if the opinion of men is affecting your decisions, then my brother, you cannot be a servant of God. Praise the Lord. That's the same reason why people are defensive. Self-defense is an outflow of this. You want to defend your opinion. You want to defend when people say something about you. No. I need to correct that opinion. That is not. No. You made one simple blunder and you want to correct it, and you are already ashamed to go out or you. In fact, you are ashamed to talk because you know everything in you is affected. Your choices are controlled by the opinion of men. That is self. John 7. Verse 41 and 42. John 7, 41 and 42. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Have not the scripture said that Christ comes of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? You know, right in the face of Jesus, they were arguing that he was not born in Bethlehem. And Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But you know, after he was born, his father took him to Egypt. When they were in Egypt, later, after Herod died, the angel told them to bring him back to Israel, to Jerusalem. So while coming back, instead of them to go back to Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, they took him to Galilee. So, Jesus was now taught to be born in Galilee because he grew up in Galilee. And right before his face, they were arguing that, no. Have you seen any prophet come out of Bethlehem, out of Galilee before? Did the scripture not say that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem? And he was born in Bethlehem. He could have tried to convince them and say, hey, calm down. You people don't understand. Let me explain. You need to understand. Because you people don't understand me. I'm trying to explain myself, you know. Self-defense. He didn't. Keep quiet. At another point in his life, he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood. He said, you have no part of me. I'm like, no. What is this one saying? Does he want to give us our flesh, his flesh to eat and his blood to drink? You know what he said? He didn't try to explain himself. He made it worse. He said, my blood indeed, and my flesh is flesh indeed. And the Bible says, all of them departed from all the disciples. They left. They ran away. He didn't care about the opinion of men. He faced his disciples. He said, do you also want to go? Those who say, no, we are not going anywhere. We have burnt our bridges. We stay with you forever. Number four. What does this mean? What does self mean? Self is that thing that makes you hold tight to anything in the world. Anything that makes you hold so tightly to the things of the world is self. You are afraid. You don't want to lose it. Too scared, like Job. Too scared to lose anything. While we must love the things that we have, we must like them, we must desire them, we must not live in the fear of losing them. Praise the Lord. This is hard. You will not hear this in many places. Yes, you have a car. Beautiful car. You just bought it. But with it must be the willingness to lose it if there is need. You just bought a new phone. Very new phone. It has been your dream for like 6 months. Eventually, now you have the phone. Nobody, if you touch my phone, if you look, even if they look at the phone, self, you want to cut somebody's head. Self. Nothing in this world will be held too tightly. My heart and my money, the money I work for, sir. What? Which money did you work for, sir? Which money? Can you work for money? I've seen people that work for money, and I know what it means to work for money. You are just blessed. Just be grateful that you are blessed. Because God gave you a mind, you use that mind to go to school, and what if you were born without a mind? And your mind is turned backward. And they took you to all the hospitals in the world, and I said there is nothing they can do about it. Would you be able to use that mind to make anything? And you sit down there and you say, I am self-made. You are a fool. God made you. Matthew chapter 19, 27 to 29. Jesus said, Matthew 19, I'll read. Said, and everyone that has forsaken houses and brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my name's sake, they shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. God's children, if you are going to crucify self, self will want you to hold tight to the things of the world. Hold tightly. You want to hold it tightly. You want it so badly. Crucify that desire. I want that job. Crucify that desire. I want that car. Crucify that desire. Oh, I want a child. Crucify that desire. Oh, I want a wife. Crucify that desire. Nothing must be held too tightly. Because if you hold anything too tightly, Satan knows that you're holding it too tightly. And that will be the point at which he's going to lay a stumbling block on your way. That was what he did to Job. He knew how much Job held on to his things. He knew how much he held to his things. So he told God, God, I know where this guy, I know where we can put him down. Jesus said, the way to keep things is to let them go. I mean, that's what we read in John. If you are going to keep anything in God's kingdom, the pathway to keep things is to let them go. The pathway to live is to die. The pathway to gain is to lose. God's wisdom is unlike men. God does not see rich men on earth. The way to be rich in the sight of God is how much you give. The wealthiest man on earth is the greatest giver. And you must understand that who much is given, much is expected. So before you start thinking you are so great a giver, you need to know that scripture. That the who much is given, much is expected. Because you see a man give out 1,000,000 naira, you think he's a great giver. No. In the sight of God, God will judge his giving based on how much he has given him. If God has given you 10 million and you give 1 million, and God gave another man 100 naira and he gave 10 naira, both of them are equal. Praise the Lord. So in God's sight, the man who gives 10 naira from 100 and the man that gives 1 million from 10 million, they are both equal. None is greater than the other. Praise the Lord. So you must hold on to nothing. If you're going to be rich in the sight of God, then you must let go. If you're going to be great in the sight of God, then you must let go. You must count everything but dung. That's the way to gain. Praise the Lord. Number 5. What does self mean? Definitely we cannot finish this tonight. But by God, we finish what is self. And next week, we talk about how to die to self. That will be next week. Praise the Lord. Because our time is fast spent now. Number 5. Self is that thing that envies and idolizes the success and pleasures of the world. There is this thing in you that envies and idolizes the beauty and pleasures and beauties of this world and success of this world in your heart. You don't have them yet, but you idolize them in your heart. You don't have it yet, but you wish you were there. You are silently craving and desiring. Oh, someday I will also be there. Wake up. You are blinded by self, sir. You will not hear this as we have told you. They won't tell you this. What they will tell you in church is to see yourself there. See yourself taking it. Dream yourself there and you will get there. Dream big, dream wide. All this script, all these things that are not founded in God. When Jesus came and said that there is only one desire that you should have. Seek only one thing. Only one thing a man should seek. One thing, the only thing a man should seek is to seek God's kingdom. God has called man to seek only his will. Seek only the will of God. And these other things will be added. That is what the Bible says. The Bible says those that seek the things of the world, they are Gentiles. Seeking the things of the world is not the heritage of children. It's not the heritage of sons. It is the worldly people that seek after money, that seek after fame. God's children have been called. Ha! Nekoto Supri. Maka Tali Benotoku. Oh, that our eyes may be opened. Oh, that our eyes may be opened. Jesus said in Matthew 6, said, after all these things the Gentiles seek. But then a pastor will preach a 10-pack series message on how to get the things of the world, on how to seek the things of the world. Brethren, come out from among them and be separated. God is calling for a remnant that will seek the Lord. And may you be one of them in the name of Jesus. God has not called men to seek things. He called men to seek him. And his promise that for everyone that seek me, for me alone, I will ensure that all things follow them. And God is going to test your heart, I tell you. God will test your commitment. The day you start seeking God, all things may not follow you. Things may go bad. Things may even go worse. Because God is testing your heart. He wants to know where your heart truly lies. We're going to get there. 1 John 2:15, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the Lord, the Father is not in him. You sit there and you are fantasizing. Ah, how I wish. And everything you are longing for, everything you are craving for, they are the things the world offers. Paul said, we have just one desire. Our ambition is to please God. the only ambition that is permitted for a child of God. Many people in this year that you have laid out New Year resolution, and it will be sad that 9 out of 10 is the things of the world. Maybe only one will be so that you don't look like I'm being covered. You now put most spiritual this year. There is only one ambition permitted for a child of God. I tell you, it is to seek God. And there is balances, of course, that we cannot cover in this message. So if you idolize, you look at pictures of people in the world and you're like, how I wish I'm the one. How I wish I'm the one. You don't look at the scriptures and see people and say, how I wish I'm the one. How I wish I'm the one making the Father glad. How I wish I'm the one giving him joy. How I wish I'm the one giving God pleasure. You are there fantasizing over rubbish. Brethren, we need to wake up. There was one man that had it all. How do you know? God gave one man the capacity and the ability to have everything the world has. God gave him the capacity to seek everything the world people seek. Speaking about fame, this man had it all. All the way from Africa and far and wide, the Bible says people were coming to seek for his knowledge, seek for his wisdom. They heard about his glory as far away, hundreds of thousands of miles, they were hearing his glory. Hey, King Solomon, the richest, the greatest, the mightiest. He had everything. He had gold. The Bible says in his days, silver was like stone. He had it all. He had all the women. He tasted women of all sizes and kinds and of all statures. He went for the fat and the thin and the short and the tall. From all kinds of nations of the world, he tasted them all. Read Ecclesiastes, you will see his misery. He again went and tasted all the wines of the world. Tasted them all. Went for all the riches of the world. Tasted them all. When he was done, he said, I got tired. Then I decided to start trying foolishness. He tasted all the foolishness possible. At the end, what was his result, brethren? These things they are seeking. What is the result? Vanity. Upon vanity. Vanity upon vanity. Rubbish upon rubbish. Nonsense upon nonsense. And eventually, what was his result? If you read Ecclesiastes, the last chapter, I believe. He said, eventually, what did I find? I find that there is only one thing that is important. See, it is to fear the Lord. So this is the entire duty of man. This is the only and entire duty of man. Because when you reach that place, when you reach that thing that you need, when you eventually get it, then you find out that it's vanity. Praise the Lord. Number 6. Time is almost up. Self is that confidence and pride that you have in yourself and in your abilities. Jeremiah 17 verse 5, the Bible says, cursed is he that puts his trust in man. Today, they will tell you, have confidence in yourself. Believe in yourself. You can do it. It's in you. You know, the devil knows how to twist scriptures to suit, as in, he changes what the Bible says. He twists it. He changes it. And makes and changes a God-centered message to a self-centered message. There is no such thing as confidence in yourself. There is no such thing as self-confidence. That is for motivational speakers, and majority of them are born by hellfire. You need to know that. No matter how beautiful or how sweet their tongues may be, anyone that preaches another gospel, that preach self, that preach the gratification of self, they are born by hell. But you know, when Satan comes with you, comes to you with two arms, you know this is Satan. But you know the most dangerous devils, they are the ones that come in sheep's clothing. Jesus said one of the perilous times, one of the signs that will make you know the end is near, is that many will come. They will say, I am the Christ, and turn and deceive many. People who are saying, yes, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is the Christ, believe him, give your life to Jesus, be born again, they are the very people Satan will use to deceive you and destroy you. They are going to package, they are going to package a pie, a very beautiful pie, a very big sandwich of bread, of truth, and in between, they will put all the most dreadful, the most destructive false doctrine. They will put it in between for you and give you. Brethren, you must be watchful. The end is near. There's no such thing as self-confidence. Only God must be trusted. Not you, not anybody else, but God.
Because of time, I have to hurry up. Number 7.
Self is that thing that makes you show, give a public show of your piety, your wealth, your status, your knowledge, or your possession. That thing in you that wants people to quickly know. I took a picture with Obama today. Me and him, we met. We took picture. Quickly, you want to put it on social media. Everybody must know that me and Obama, we, you know. Something in you that want to show, as in, give an image of you to people, to the world. A public show of piety, maybe of piety. They need to let them think that I'm humble. I am humble. I am spiritual. I am spiritual. If all my preaching today is just so that you can know that I'm a good preacher, then it's a waste. And I've wasted my time and wasted your time. And it will be rubbish upon rubbish. If I have come to you today speaking, trying to speak phonetic English, and I've gone to a dictionary to check for all the big words I will use to bamboozle and use all kinds of gimmicks. Paul said, our speech to you is not in the excellency of speech, but in the power of God. Public show of wealth. You want people, you want to show your wealth. You want to show your riches. You want to show your status. You want to show off your knowledge. Let them know I know so much. You want to show off your possession, that is self. Social media have destroyed many of us. Boosted our self-image. That's why you see people who are very vibrant on social media, they will go and commit suicide. Because self destroyed them. They seem to be very beautiful on the outside, but inside them is death.
It's number 7.
Fake humility. Fake humility. Hey, let them think I'm humble. Let them think I'm gentle. Let them think I'm this and that. Remember one man in the Bible that showed fake humility? Saul. They wanted to make him king. He said, no, he went to hide under the bag of rice because he doesn't want to be king. Fake humility. 2 years down the lane, he was already killing prophets. And yet, he was forming humility at the beginning of his life. May God deliver us in the name of Jesus. Humility is not how abase you put yourself. Humility is not low self-esteem. Even low self-esteem is born of the devil. There is no such thing as low self-esteem or high self-esteem. There is only God's esteem. The only thing you must confess about yourself is what God says about you. Praise the Lord. Time will fail me to build on that. The last one is number 8. Self is that thing in you that just wants you to be above everybody else. I want to be the greatest in my family. I want to be the greatest in my workplace. I want to be the greatest in my church. This all mindset, this is what we pray for. These are prayer points of an entire revival. All for self. I don't want a meeting to start in my family if I have not showed up. Self. That thing in you that wants to be above everybody else. Everybody should come and bow to me. Everybody should come and submit to me. Completely opposed to the teaching of Christ. Jesus said, if you are going to be the greatest, you must be the servants of all. But no. Preacher said, no. You now hold your head and say, Father, say, Father, I must be the greatest in my family. And everybody will be praying with sweat. I'll be sweating. I'll be speaking in tongues. May God open our eyes in the name of Jesus. Self has destroyed the church, brethren. Self has taken the seat, has taken the place of God in the church today. Hundreds and hundreds of books that are getting published today, all talking about self and self and self. How to build self, how to gratify self, how to embellish self, how to take care of self. When Jesus said, crucify it, kill it, destroy it, hate it. No, they say love it. You must love yourself. If you don't love yourself, you cannot love other people. Where did you see that one? In the Bible? In God's word? You must love, you look at the mirror and say, I love myself. I love, no. When the Bible says it must be crucified, it must be destroyed, it must be killed. Pardon your heads wherever you are, let us pray. Wherever you are, if you are listening, if you can't bow where you are, just close your eyes and pray. If you can't close your eyes, open your eyes, just talk to God. And say, Lord, I want to be one of the remnants that will seek your face. I want to be one of those that will be left, that will seek your face. I want to be one of them that will turn many to righteousness. I am coming out of the crowd and I'm getting separated. I am renouncing the life of self. Next week, God will talk about how to destroy self. Say, Lord, I am coming out of this evil generation. I am coming out. I am coming out. I am coming out. I am coming out. There is no generation before this of Christians where Christians are exceedingly rich. And Jesus said, you say that I am rich and want nothing, not knowing that you are blind, you are poor, you are miserable, you are wretched. He said, come to me and buy of me gold tried in fire that you may be rich, and anoint your eye with eye salve that you may see. Say, Lord, anoint my eye with eye salve so I can see. I refuse to be blind. I refuse to be blind. I choose to be a person of the kingdom. People of the kingdom, gold is not in their heart. It is under their feet. That is where we are. We who belong to the New Jerusalem. Gold is our walkway. It's our road. It has no place in our hearts. It has no place on our heads. Glory to Jesus. Thank you. Say, Lord, I receive grace. I receive grace to come out in the name of Jesus. I crucify the flesh. I crucify self. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to your name. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. Father, we thank you. Blessed be your name. For as many who are listening, who have seen their own self-life and are willing to break away, before next week, Lord, I ask that you appear to them yourself and change their hearts. Grant them a fresh start. Help them to begin at the place of death so that true growth can begin in their lives. Glory be to your name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your name. Thank you for utterance. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for blessing us all. Thank you, Jesus. Till we meet again next week, be thou glorified, be thou exalted in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. See you next week, same time, and God bless you. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless you. Have a great night, guys.